This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for joining us in the Aqidah class. Today, inshallah, we'll discuss the issue of Tamima, whether it is from the Quran or from anything else. We discussed the definition of the Tamima, and we said the Tamima is something that you hang for protection. This is the definition of tamima, and the plural of tamima called tama'im. The translation of it is incantation or amulet. So what's the ruling or what's the verdict if someone hanged something seeking for protection? Now, if it's permissible, why it is permissible? And if it's not permissible, if it's prohibited, why it is prohibited? Are all tama'im, are all incantations the same, or they are different according to what you hang? And we will have several scenarios. Someone have a necklace with a picture of a righteous person, and you ask him why you hang this necklace with that picture. He would say for protection. So what's the ruling here? What can you say? You may be asked this question from a person, or even in the exam I may ask you this question. So what do you say? What are the proofs? Or someone puts the Quran. She has the Quran around her neck, or even underneath the bed, the pillow. And you ask why you're putting this, and he or she says for protection. So what's the ruling here? Is it permissible or it is not permissible? What do you say? What did you read what the author mentioned in the book? Any thoughts? If someone hanged the Quran in the car and he cannot read it, it's just put there for protection. These are many cases where you have people do this. Or someone, he hangs the horseshoe or the blue eye on the back of the door. Why you do this? For protection. I don't want my house to be robbed. What do you say? Is it permissible or not? Why? They are depending on these things. They are not depending on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you depend on things, then it's not permissible. Why?
Those are dead things.
Dead things? I mean, it is not dead. Why do you take the medicine? Why do you take the medicine? For what?
To help you from sickness.
From sickness, right? I want to be healed. I want the cure. Why? It's not shirk. Shouldn't you depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So you need to be able to say ruqya. Now we're talking about tamima.
Ruling for medicine.
What about medicine?
Maybe similar to doing ruqya.
Doing medicine is similar to do ruqya. So you're saying ruqya is permissible. Because the Prophet ﷺ did it.
Yes.
So the medicine becomes like ruqya. So someone comes and says, tamima becomes like ruqya and medicine. So why you make it forbidden? Do you have anything from online students? Yes. They have the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them if they put that. Yeah. So does that make it permissible? If I put the blue eye or the shoe, the horseshoe, and I say Allah will protect, but this will help also protecting. You had something to say?
For the medicine, you don't believe that the medicine will cure you. Ultimately, you believe that Allah will cure you, but Allah has put cure in the medicine.
Yes, Allah, exactly, that's what we're looking for. Allah has put cure in the medicine. The same thing, Allah put protection in this incantation.
But Allah has not.
But Allah has not. Why? Why? You had some things in this? Yes. It is minor shirk to say other than Allah will help. Why? If I ask you to help me, I committed minor shirk. If someone said, please help me, you committed minor shirk. That's why you need to be careful. You need to know exactly what you're saying with the evidences. You have to provide the evidence for anything you say. These things can what?
Take your tawakkul away from Allah.
Can you take tawakkul, reliance, dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about the medicine? Why don't you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will cure you and don't take medicine?
Depends on your intention.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? Go ahead. Well, again, we need an answer. People do this. Many people do this, actually. Yes.
Abdul says there is a clear hadith forbidding tamaim and ruqya, saying it shirk.
There is a clear hadith forbidding tamaim and ruqya. Correct. And it says shirk. However, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu did ruqya. And the Prophet ﷺ approved him. So what do you say, Abdullah, for this hadith? You opened the book later on, not now. You were supposed to do that earlier. Okay, so where is the answer? Yes. Yes, if someone hangs or من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له. May Allah not complete his need or his intention or his purpose, what he intended to do. So again, it is back to the evidences. The Prophet ﷺ forbade hanging something. It is true what Bazigha said, what others said, that it will make you dependent on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now in general, you should depend, rely only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in things that other people do. Now, I may need money, so I go to someone and ask him for money. Essentially, I should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But it is permissible to ask others to help me with things that they could help with. While this thing, what's the evidence that it could help you? If there is no evidence from the Book of Allah, from the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you cannot do it. Then it becomes shirk. Because you are depending on something other than Allah. So it is different. It is different than the medicine. Now the medicine, it has a clear, a physical reaction. It's proven, scientifically proven, that when you take this thing, that's what will happen. Just like when you eat. You're hungry and you're eating. No one would tell you, don't eat, rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to eat. There is a physical reaction. Once you eat, your body digests the food, then you will become stronger. That's not depending on something other than Allah. There is a physical need. The same thing with medicine. And the same thing with other things. If they have physical effect, if there is an evidence that it is permissible, you can do it. If there is no evidence, you cannot do it. It becomes shirk. We take the medicine because the Prophet ﷺ commanded us to. He said, tadawo. Seek cure, healing. Because Allah never sent a disease without sending a cure for it. The only disease that has no cure is death. You cannot protect yourself from death. But other than that, you should seek the treatment. So it is not shirk. Yes, do we have something?
Yeah,
Alawi.
Medicine is not supernatural, but the object having power is supernatural.
Yes, medicine does not have something supernatural. As I said, it has physical influence. But the other things you claim, actually it doesn't have, but people claim that it has supernatural power. Where is the evidence? Where is the where is the proof? So now you are attributing something to objects without basis. Yes. That's true, Saba, also. Now, you are giving these objects the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who protects you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say others can protect me while they cannot, now if they can, it is not shirk anymore. Just like the example of the bodyguard. Now if someone has a bodyguard behind him and you ask why you are having this person, he says to protect me. They may people come, intruders, and he will stop them. That's not, there is nothing wrong with it. No one says this is shirk, because again, this is a person who can do a clear job. You're not saying that he can do things which he cannot, or he can do hidden things, supernatural things. Yes. Is wearing amulet major or minor shirk? What did we say about that? It is minor. Unless there are cases where it becomes major shirk. And actually, that's what I am expecting from you. I need the answer from you. And therefore, I need everyone, whoever has the book, please open the book on page 51. Page 51, it's really important what the author mentioned about the Tamaim. Page 51, we are in chapter 6. Who wants to read? Okay, where is the mic? Okay, anyway, for the sake of time, we don't have much of time, actually. Can you try? Just try. Come close to the mic. Now, what's important is actually the footnote. Page 51, chapter 6, the footnote. That's the important thing. This is the explanation for the entire chapter. Now, some of you asked, why is it major or minor? Some of you said, why it is forbidden? All these answers are provided here. Go ahead. Raise your voice.
This is an attempt to explain a tawheed by explaining its opposite. It is known that a thing is recognized and distinguished by two things, by its reality and awareness of its opposite.
Now, again, this is a really nice statement. Now, sometimes you don't know the things until you know their opposite. We have this practice from the companions, like Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. He used to ask the Prophet ﷺ about the evil. He said, the companions used to ask the Messenger ﷺ about good things to do. And I asked him about the evil things to avoid. So this is another way how you know good things and bad things. How do you know Tawheed? You know its conditions and you know what nullifies Tawheed to avoid it. Okay, go ahead. They're not working. Okay, no problem. That's fine, inshallah. It's not working. That's fine. This is really important. You have the answers. Okay. Okay, it's okay. Just be with me. Read what he said here. Everybody has the book. Please read here what he said, especially in the bottom. Now, the introduction is nice, but then there are three paragraphs. The sixth line from the bottom when he says to wear a ring, string, or anything similar, which is like pearls, charms, a piece of iron, and anything similar that is worn. Also similar to this is that which is hung in the homes. These are examples. Now how can we know what are the types or examples for tamaim? These are few examples that he mentioned about tamaim. Then on the second page, he mentioned the reason. Why was this a minor form of shirk? Again, the question, why it is form of minor shirk? Why it is not a major shirk? It is on the sixth line from the top, from the footnote. The sixth line count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Why was this a minor form of shirk? Because the person's heart would be attached to it. And he would make it a cause of removing affliction or preventing it. Okay? The principle in this chapter is that affirming the effective causes is not permissible unless it is an Islamically legislated cause. These are very important words. When I ask you to read, I want you to read these things and to know what they mean. Why it is a form of minor shirk, why it is not a major shirk, that's the reason. So unless it is an Islamically legislated cause or it is affirmed by actual experimentation, that's what we mean by like medicine, it's physically proven. Now we discussed something earlier in the previous class actually with other group of students about, you know, the copper bracelet. What do you think of it? Is it permissible or not? You know, they say it helps you like reduce your weight or yeah, some problems. What do you think? Is it minor shirk or it is permissible? Now, yes. It depends on intention. Well, actually, that's true. It depends on intention, but before that, does it really have a proven evidence that it affects or not? If they, by experiment, if they found out that it really helps, then it is permissible. If it did not, then actually even your intention will not help you that much. Because you are wearing something which will not help you, but your intention is to heal you. So it becomes just like any other amulet, any other tamima. So here, this paragraph on page 52, the footnote, is very important. Now, this is your job. You will read the book. You'll continue reading this chapter. That will be your part. Now we need to move on with our class. Is this ruling that tamima, hanging something for protection, is it always the same? Is it always prohibited? Is it always minor shirk, even if it was from the Quran or no? Scholars differed on this matter. Many of them said it is the same, even if it's from the Quran. Because the Quran is meant to be read. It's not sent down to for protection. Now, you hear the hadith, whoever hanged tamima, may Allah not complete or fulfill his intention. There is another hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says, whoever hangs a tamima, he will be entrusted to it. مَن تَعَلَّقَ تَمِيمَةً وُكِلَ إِلَيْهَا. And again, this hadith is mentioned in the book. Now, other people, other scholars said it is permissible if it's from the Quran because of this hadith. Now, you want me to be entrusted to the thing that I hang. So if I hang a bracelet, Allah will not help me. He will say to the bracelet to help me if it helps or not. And if it does not, then obviously I will not be helped. But when I hang a Quran, the Quran will help me. It is the word of Allah. So that's an evidence that it is permissible. So some scholars said it is permissible. Many of them said no, it is not permissible. It's all the same. We have an evidence that Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiallahu anhuma, he used to put it on his children. And it was narrated that Aisha radiallahu anha also, she did the same. So there is actually a difference of opinions. If it's from the Quran. If it's not from the Quran, something you hang for protection, it is forbidden. Allah is the one who protects you. It is minor shirk if you hang something for protection from other than the Quran. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. The only exception, if it's from the Quran, some scholars allowed it for few ahadith, while the rest said no. Because it's a means of committing the major shirk. You only rely and depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, now we're moving to the second issue that we have today. The second type. The second type of things that we hang or we do, which is ruqa. Ruqa is plural. And the single word is ruqya. What's the meaning of ruqya? Or what's the difference between ruqya and tamima? What's the difference between ruqya and tamima? Yes.
Ruqya is like when you're reading the Quran and it has the blessings, and mm-hmm.
Tamima, it does not have the blessing, but ruqya has the blessing.
Yeah, because it's the Quran.
But even the tamima, we said it could be from the Quran.
Well, then it's allowed.
Then it's allowed. What about the ruqya? Now, again, remember, you are defining something. So it has to meet all the types of ruqya. As we said, for tamima, it is something you hang for protection. Whether it's Quran or not Quran. Ruqya, what is it? Yes. Ruqya is something recited over someone. Incomplete. This cannot be accepted as a correct answer. I'm not asking whether it's permissible or it's forbidden. What's the nature? What's the meaning of ruqya? Tamima, we already said, tamima, something you hang for protection. Yes?
Something recited over someone to help them or cure them.
Very good. Something which is recited for someone, for healing or cure. You see the difference now? Tamima, incantation, it happens before the infliction. While ruqya, it is after. Ruqya is after. Tamima, something that is hanged. So it could be object, physical. While ruqya, something which is recited. So these are differences between tamima and ruqya. So, is it forbidden or it is permissible? What's the difference between ruqya and tamima? Now I need to know, does it have the same ruling? It's a form of shirk, it's a minor shirk, or it is permissible? Ruqya. Yes.
It depends on what you're reciting.
It depends on what you're reciting. Very good. So that means you're implying that we have different forms of ruqya, and consequently we have different rulings. What do you think? So tell me, if someone recited poetry as ruqya, is this permissible or not? What do you think? Do we have answer? Yes.
Abdul and Omar said no.
No. Why? Why? You need to give me an evidence. Now, again, some people, while you are reading this, well, it makes me comfortable. I feel comfortable. I feel cured. You need an evidence. Okay, what about the ruqya from the Quran? Is it permissible or not? You're reading the Quran. Why are you reading the Quran? For cure. Someone is sick and you read the Quran to cure him or cure her. Is it permissible? Is it permissible or not? Why? Why it is permissible?
Because
What's the evidence? Yes, Allah says in the Quran, we send down of the Quran that which is cure and mercy for the believers. So Allah said that the Quran is cure. How it is cure? By reciting the Quran for healing, by reading the Quran, by implementing the Quran. All types of Quran are cure. We have a clearer evidence what Abu Sa'id al-Khudri did in Surah Al-Fatiha with the chief of the tribe. Now, he recited Surah Al-Fatiha. He understood that it is ruqyah. The Prophet ﷺ approved that understanding. And he said how he knew that it is ruqyah, because it's true a ruqyah. So now, notice, if it's from the Quran, there is no disagreement. Everybody agreed that it is permissible. Unlike tamaim, where even if it's from the Quran, some scholars still said it is forbidden. Okay. What if it's not from the Quran? What if the ruqya is not from the Quran? Is it forbidden or it is permissible? If it's not from the Quran. Then it is haram. Why, Baziga? What's the ruling? Someone did it. Did he commit shirk? Always, you need the evidences. That's why when I refer you to the book, you need to know the ahadith and the lessons behind the ahadith. Back to my question again. Someone reads poetry as ruqyah. Is it forbidden or it is permissible? Do you have an answer? Yes, go ahead. Anything other than the Quran is type of shirk. Do you agree?
Yes.
No? You say no? What do you think? Why? The hadith is not shirk. Yeah, you mean, no, but we are talking about the ruqyah. Okay, someone recites poetry as ruqya, it is haram. So he committed shirk.
In the last chapter, it says, "Inna ruqya wa tamimatu al-qalb wa tamaim."
Inna ruqa wa tamaim wa tiwala shirk. That's true. Inna ruqa wa tamaim wa tiwala shirk. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Indeed, ruqa, tamaim, and tiwala, they are shirk." But we just mentioned the exception. If it's from the Quran, then it is not shirk. Tamima, if it's from the Quran, there is difference of opinion. So you cannot take this hadith without exceptions. So again, back to my question. Someone would come and argue. He would say, if you say it is shirk, you have to agree on all types, including the Quran, because that's what the hadith says. That's what we understand from the hadith. You will tell him, no, there is another evidence that excludes the Quran. Other things remain. There is a hadith came that allowed the Quran. What about the other things? They are included. So do you agree? The bottom line, is the ruqya from other than the Quran allowed or not? Be it poetry, be it sermon, be it any words. Yes? The Prophet ﷺ used only Quran. Does that make anything not used forbidden? Give me answers. Who recited Surah Al-Fatiha? Yes, yes, we mentioned that. So, the Quran, definitely it's ruqyah, definitely. There are ahadith, there are ayat, but what about other than the Quran? Is it permissible or it's forbidden?
What about reading Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah?
Bismillah, is it from the Quran?
Yes, part of it, but there's also continuing.
Part of it, but A'udhu Billah. Okay, so let's say we have the Quran and we have the dhikr of Allah or the names of Allah. This is another type. Is it permissible or forbidden? Yes. The Sunnah only allows the Quran to be ruqya. Omar, you'll be held responsible for this statement if it appeared wrong. Is this true or not? The Sunnah allowed only the Quran to be a ruqya. Now that's the importance when you read the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said in one hadith, لا بأس بالرقى ما لم تكن شركا. There is no harm of doing ruqya as long as it does not include shirk. Very good, Basil. The Prophet ﷺ also said, اعرضوا علي رقاكم. Show me the things that you are doing as ruqya. And he continued by saying, لا بأس بالرقى ما لم تكن شركا. There is nothing wrong with the ruqya as long as it does not include shirk. That means, if it's other than the Quran, it's permissible. It is permissible. The Prophet ﷺ did not tell them, look, you cannot do any ruqya unless it is from the Quran. Actually, he said the opposite. The ruqya is allowed unless it includes shirk. So this is another difference between ruqa and tamaim. In tamima, it's prohibited. While ruqya, it is allowed. Unless we have an evidence proves that the tamima is allowed, or an evidence that the ruqya is shirk, they are not so. So there is difference between tamima and ruqya. So again, once you say ruqya is shirk, you have to be careful. What is the evidence that it is shirk? You have to read all the ahadith in context. And therefore, again, we need to go back to the book. To the book, chapter 7. Because chapter 7 is talking about the ruqya. Page 59. Actually, it does not only talk about the ruqya, but also it continues talking about the tamaim as well. So it is important to read both chapters together. Again, I will read a little bit. I will read the footnote. The footnote is important. Here he says, the author, he says, this chapter is related to the explanation of the ruling concerning ar-ruqa. Again, this is page 59. Ar-ruqa is the plural of ruqya, and in actuality it is supplications and words that are said or recited and then they are blown onto something or someone. If you want a definition, this is another definition from the book. Some types of ruqa or ruqya have an effect upon the limbs of the body. Some types have an effect upon the souls. Some types of it are permissible and legislated, and other types are shirk. The legislator has allowed a ruqa that is free of a shirk. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا بأس بالرقى ما لم تكن شركا. There is nothing wrong with a ruqa as long as it is not shirk. You see, so this is the beginning of the chapter with this hadith, that it is permissible or there is nothing wrong with ruqa as long as it does not include shirk. Now, later on, he adds and he elaborates on this meaning until the end of the chapter. So you have to read this chapter, chapter 7, until page 65. The lessons derived from the ahadith of the Messenger ﷺ about ruqya. Now with this, inshallah, we will conclude our session about tamaim and ruqa. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.